Thank you.
Sapile mama ngibona ubaba ukhaya ingathi ngamkhulu.
Good morning honorable honor.
Honorable Mamwenya.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning baba.
Good.
Are you
morning,
baba?
Chaperson.
Good.
Morning Chaperson honorable Makata.
Morning Mamodise. Can we start on the members? Time is 10. I have been advised, honorable members, that we don't have the minister among ourselves. He's attending the cabinet. I hope somebody's gonna count on the deputy minister, or if he's not here, but I don't see him on my list. I understand the DG is present in the meeting, and today we are having a joint portfolio committee and the select committee on public enterprise. And we don't want to spend a lot of time to introduce a lot of people. If the key people are here, as I see in front of me, I can see that the DG, Mr. Khatatso Sakuti, is present, and he will introduce his team when I give him the time to make the presentation. Actually, we are here to get a report on the Department of Public Enterprise presentation of the Strategy Plan 2020-2025 and the Annual Performance Plan 2021-2022. We will have the DG helping us with that particular presentation and his team. As we do traditionally, we normally ask the minister or the deputy minister. Oh, the deputy minister is present, honorable members. I'm sorry. I see honorable deputy minister, Mr. Phumulo Mosetswadi, is in the meeting. And he, as we traditionally do, we'll ask him to make some remarks, and he gave thereafter to his team that is leading of the Department of Public Enterprise with the DG. Can Deputy Minister come in and take the podium?
Thank you very much, Chair. My apologies first. I have a very serious challenge with the network where I am. So the video is off for that reason. My apologies. Honourable Chair, greetings to the honourable members of the joint committees. Greetings to all who are on the platform, the Director General, the advisory to the Minister, and all the colleagues from the Department. Chair, I, in the interest of time, and also the fact that the DG is ready to make the presentation, perhaps I would defer any commentary or engagement when we are dealing with the substance. I would really like, without much
Deputy Minister.
Yes.
Deputy Minister.
I hear you, Chair.
Yeah, we last hear you when you started greeting, and after that you disappeared. You're only coming now.
It's a network problem.
Yeah,
let the DG proceed with the presentation, Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Deputy Minister. Honorable Mr. Tlapudi, before I give you, I've made a mistake of not acknowledging my colleague, Mr. Honorable Mr. TVG, who will be also chairing the second part of this section. Immediately after you finish, Honorable Chairperson of the Select Committee will be taking over. Thank you. Mr. Tahuti?
Good morning, Chair, and good morning to the Chair of the Select Committee, and also good morning to honorable members. I'm accompanied by the colleagues from the department, and I think it's, I should also greet the Deputy Minister as well. Sharing, Mike, have I been given the powers to share? Let me just present. It looks like I have been. Let me just put it on the slideshow. Chair, this morning we'll be sharing the APP for this current financial year, and what we thought we'd do as well in the process is just share as well the strategic planning that informed this financial year iteration of the APP. The presentation outline is as reflected. We'll cover a bit on the overview of the department. We'll provide the strategic context that informed the APP plans. We'll also share the strategic objectives, that is the end state that we are seeking to achieve. So what are the priorities during this MTSF period and what we are seeking to achieve this year? And of course, lastly, we'll speak to the budget that informs the resources that will be utilized to implement this APP. Chair, the vision of the department is as reflected. We are seeking to develop an environment which obviously also includes the governance space for these SOEs that will ensure that they add real value to our economy, and this is informed by ensuring operational excellence, ensuring that the entities are commercially viable, and that we reduce their reliance on the fiscus. And the outcomes for our people should be in industrialized South Africa. As we know, we have been on a deindustrialization curve, so we are seeking to reverse that curve. But also the new technologies are presenting an opportunity for our SOEs to play a role in developing new industries. I think it in relation to ESCOM, the green economy, the green energy space that is developing and creates opportunities for people. And of course, from those enterprises that will be formed, we are expecting that jobs will be created. We are expecting that our people will be given new skills, leveraging the very substantial skills development infrastructure that exists in our SOEs. We are seeking through the department, Chair, to ensure that we have financially sustainable entities that are adequately funded and that they are operationally robust. The cycle, the bust, more than the boom cycle that we've had with our SOEs, we are seeking to reverse that. The issue of operating models and business models have really come to the fore, because as we have realized, even if you sort out the governance, you fund these entities, if the business model is not correct, if it is not offering the right service or product at the right time, to its customer base, you have a receipt for poor performance, as we've seen in the financials eventually. And obviously, we are seeking to have innovative SOEs, which we are pushing investment in research and development for that purpose. We want to have SOEs that are reliable, they provide high quality products and services, which are cost effective, that they the vertical economic infrastructure that they provide is intact for the benefit of our people and those that do business in this country. We want them to be vehicles for investment and, of course, for strategic industrial development. And ultimately, all these efforts must be in line with the national development objectives that we have set out for ourselves as a country. So we have reflected on here the partial portfolio of our department. As you know, we have 7 entities. We have not reflected the airlines. As you know, we have SAA that has just emerged from the business rescue. The new team that is there is working on being able to put forward a balance sheet and a business plan going forward. So that will inform the numbers going forward. And as you know, with SAA Express, it is in liquidation. So it's for that reason, those are not here. The entities that we have is active and operating. Dinel, despite its challenges, it is at 2.7 billion rand, which is where it should not be. Going forward, we hope that it will be able to reach the 8 billion rand of revenues that it used to realize. But it has about 8.7 billion rand of assets under its control. It has about 3,000 employees under its employ. And of course, if you add the multiples as one would with the rest of the entities, there's a lot more, there's a much larger supplier base out there that is dependent on this business. We have Softcall that operates mainly in Limpopo and in Mpumalanga. It's an 800 million rands business with assets of 5.2 billion rands under its control and produces some of the best timber that you'll find literally anywhere in the world. And we have proven this. We have Transnet, which is really the backbone of the logistics infrastructure in this country with revenues of 75 billion rands and total assets under its management of 342 billion rands. And about 55,000 people employed there. We have Alexco, which for those of us who are here in Gauteng does not look like a big deal, but for those people who are in the Rachtersveld, where the PC visited recently, it's quite a significant asset for them. It generates about 170 million people, and there's they have. At its head of it, there's 16 people employed, but at the joint venture mine, the last time I had numbers, there's about 300 people that were employed there. So those people for the communities of Rachtersveld provide very much needed economic activity, as well as obviously income for those communities. And then we have Eskom, which is a 200 billion rand business, with 823 billion rands of assets under its control and 46,000 people employed there. These entities, the chair jointly, form a significant portion of our economy and it's critical on our side as a department to ensure that this asset base is leveraged to benefit more of our people. And as we seek to put them on the right path in terms of financial health, is to ensure that benefit continues to accrue going forward for those that are fortunate to be employed here, as well in the, those that are employed in the supplier base. And of course, those small businesses that are dependent on the patronage from these particular entities. So the process that informs oversight from DPE is reflected on this particular slide. We have what we call the logical planning framework, which starts out by the minister expressing the strategic intent statement, which is a three-year document, which gets reviewed on an annual basis and gets issued in anticipation of the other processes that we'll speak to just now. And that is preceded by consultations, most importantly, with the policy departments to ensure that the objectives that we pass on to our SOEs are aligned to the objectives that we have set for our country in terms of development, especially industrial development, in terms of provision of essential services and products and so on. And then what flows from the strategic intent statement is the shoulder compact, which is normally issued at an AGM informing the next financial year, which is then signed by both the minister and the chairperson of the board on behalf of the board. Flowing from the shoulder compact is a corporate plan that we get issued, get submitted to the department at the end of February every year. And that corporate plan then informs the monitoring that we do as a department. Essentially, the corporate plan is saying to us the resources that are under the control of the business, this is how they are going to be utilized to achieve the objectives that we have agreed. And in this, we have the quarterly reports, and in some instances, they also monthly reports that we receive, depending on the state of the business. If it's struggling, we want this much more regular reporting. Yeah, as you'll see later, we're working on dashboards to ensure that we have much more up-to-date, much regular feedback from the SOCs in terms of their performance and also in terms of health of their operations, including, for instance, on any given day, what is the state of the various corridors operated, for instance, by Transnet, or the state of what is the state of the units, the power generation units at our SOEs, at ESCOM rather, at any given point. And all that culminates again at an AGM where the performance is reported upon to the minister, and obviously eventually we have the annual report that gets tabled at Parliament to account to the South Africans as to how these assets have been run. And the process of arriving at our plan is informed by the picture that you have before you. We do a thorough situational analysis, Chair. What we also do, we seek to identify those activities that will ensure maximum impact in terms of not only ourselves as DPE, but also for our SOEs, and obviously ensure that the outcomes that we agree on are directly linked to what government, through various documents, the NDP, the NTSF, has mandated us to do on its behalf. And of course, we are always seeking to ensure that we arrive at sustainable outcomes, and ultimately the oversight process is what we ensure that what we utilize to monitor the performance of these entities and report on. So this is another picture that shows how the model that we have just described, how it unfolds. You have the NDP that sets the national goals, obviously, over agreed epochs. The NTSF says, gives us 5-year horizons in terms of what must be achieved. The ministry, as I indicated, strategic intent statement sets out the direction for these entities over the medium term period with annual reviews of that. We also look at industry benchmarks to inform the targeting that we give to our SOEs. And ultimately, we ensure that there's alignment with the SOEs planning through their corporate plans to ensure that, and also obviously through reporting, we measure execution and performance to ensure that alignment that we're speaking to. Ultimately, the other challenge that at times we do encounter distressed entities, as we have heard with SAA, which is now emerged from a business rescue process, But what we have as a process as a to deal with that is that we should be able to take that entity out of the normal oversight process to review the business to agree on what should be the new targets, what should be the new size of the business, secure the funding. Of course, in going forward, we need to look at alternative fundings away from the fiscals where possible. And once the plan is agreed, we are able to reset the business and it gets returned to the normal process of oversight. So that's if we can call it a contingency, a process that needs to deal with the eventuality of distrust as it is going forward. So this is ultimately the impact that we want to see our process delivering on. I'll just concentrate on the two blocks on the right hand side. The middle one is says we want to have a governance system that ensures that we eventually end up with entities that are independent and financially sustainable. We want to have a shareholder that is strong enough to ensure that these objectives that we've set up, be it on the infrastructure side, be it on operational effectiveness, that those are achieved. And ultimately, we want to ensure that our SOEs do deliver on the MTSF objectives that have been set out for us. And we'll just speak to those MTSF targets now. Improvement of energy availability factor obviously speaks to Eskom to ensure that we have a reliable electricity supply system. There has been with the development of technologies in the generation space, the issue of embedded generation is coming to the fore in the distribution side. So we are obviously looking at how we can enable that with Eskom. We have a separation and unbundling process that is going to be seeking in the short term to create an independent transmission business. And obviously in the medium term, we are hoping to also have an independent generation and distribution business. We are also been mandated to implement a comprehensive modernization of our rail infrastructure. And hopefully in not so long a period is to ensure that the issues of speed restrictions, lack of capacity on major corridors is eliminated. And with regard to our ports, there has been a mandate contained in the National Ports Act 2005 that Transnet National Ports Authority should be commercialized, corporatized. So that's one of the objectives that we are seeking to achieve. And that is what is flowing from the MTSF. Now, so then the question is then what are our priorities going forward, flowing from that strategic plan approach that we have just defined, described rather. We want to position our SOEs to support their industrialization. How do we do that? We have a unit in the department that monitors local content at our SOEs. We have a target of 75% of local content, and we have worked very closely with SABS in the past to verify some of the local content claims, for instance, that were made in the locomotive space. So then that's the partnership that we intend to rely on going forward to ensure that these claims, when they are made, they are real and that they are local businesses that are behind this particular target. So if you say we are purchasing a particular system, be it a locomotive, be it a generation unit, be it a vehicle at 50 now. That's 75% of those components by value are from South African businesses. And that's how we'll ensure that we reverse the deindustrialization curve that we've been seeing in this country. And most importantly as well is to ensure that those local businesses, we have a significant representation of Black businesses amongst those. We intend to ensure that our SOEs do contribute to the transformation agenda that we have set out for our country. We will not have economic growth, Chair, unless more of our people that were previously excluded from this economy are participating. This includes people in the rural parts of our country. This includes people who are in the townships, which in the past you would not find manufacturing businesses. We need to reverse that. You cannot just have retail businesses being set up in these spaces. So in that respect, we want to see the total annual preferential procurement spend being 80%. And we have set out on the BEE, triple BEE recognition levels in terms of the new codes. We have set out targets of an average of level 4, which we are not necessarily chuffed with, but we are moving from a very low baseline of 7 amongst our entities. We want to support the development of SMMEs, HR, and we'll do that by ensuring that the spending on SMME development initiatives is 3% of net profit after tax of our SOEs, and some of them are spending above this particular number. And also, we want to see some of these entities which are in the enterprise development programs graduate to be suppliers to these businesses. And obviously, skills development is very critical, and we've always ensured that our entities develop, or rather take in, more young people than what they would need. So we want to see that at 2.5%, or 3.5% in 5 years, and that's of the salary bill going towards spent on developing these particular skills. The strengthening of the governance system is very critical for us to at least have comfort that the boardroom is...
Okay. Two ladies, I will give my
Honorable Roto. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chair. To ensure that the right decisions are being made in our boardrooms, we have developed a board performance evaluation index that's overseen by governance. The unit, and you've given, obviously we're expecting 80% rating from the boards informed by that particular system. We also, in terms of infrastructure programs, what we're seeking to see happening is ensure that adherence to the capacity deployed is sitting at about 98%. We have a unit that, the Financial Analysis and Investment Unit, that monitors financial performance of our SOEs. What we are aiming for is that they have their financial sustainability, that they are able to achieve 60% of the financial targets that we serve, that we set for them, that in terms of operational efficiency as well, they are able to achieve 60% of that. We also have a unit that looks after, that monitors adherence to environmental targets. What our expectation from there is that the commitments that we have made, be it in the Paris Climate Agreement, those are being adhered to. And what we obviously do is we monitor the performance and report according is prepared on a regular basis, which shows a cumulative climate change risk rating of our entities. Chair, to just put some meat to some of the objectives that I've just spoken to, the energy availability factor that we're aiming for 73.74%, ESCOM is sitting in the mid-60% today. So this is what we're expecting them to get to, and by 2024 they should be above 80%. And we have a team that is monitoring this performance, and it's a ministerial task team working very closely with our internal energy team to ensure that the plans per power stations do ensure that these targets are achieved. We are, in terms of reserve margin, 15% is what we're aiming for. We're sitting at 19% currently, but you have to look at the two numbers together, the EAF as well as the reserve margin. So about 15% is above the number which they should be achieving. Of course, the unbundling in line with the special paper, that's what we are seeking to achieve, and better generation I've spoken to earlier. And we are relying there on the NERSA report to tell us how we are performing. Increasing access to reliable and affordable transport system, long-term rail strategy is what we are seeking to have in place. We have spoken earlier about the rail modernization and upgrade program that will obviously inform that rail strategy. That's what should be in place. And of course, the corporatization of TNPA. We have just finished the work on a feasibility study on that, and there are, and these are some of the programs that are also being monitored very closely by Operation Vulindlela, in the which is a joint treasury presidency effort. Now, PEAR program, Chair, the APP, in terms of on a quarterly basis, as we report, these are the targets that we set for ourselves. These ones here is on program one, which is administrative program. We expect the HR unit to come up with training interventions to upskill our officials so that they can perform and oversee the tasks that I've just spoken to earlier. There's a plan that we submit to DPSA on an annual basis that informs how we'll be utilizing the human resources here. Most importantly, Chair, we have just developed in the last year the IT architecture plans for this department. We'll be implementing, rolling that out over the next few years. And this is in this era of data, where it's quite possible to get a sense of the operational health of an entity. By second basis, we want to leverage that infrastructure to give us that view going forward, and also to eliminate the lag that tends to be there when reports are needed, people having to run and make calls and to be able to compile those reports. And obviously, the stakeholder environment for us is very critical in terms of keeping everyone informed of what we are doing in the department. So this is an explanation note that has been spoken to both the training interventions, to the ICT work, as well as the stakeholder framework that the communication unit is the custodian thereof. In program two, Chair, this is where we have the legal governance and risk unit, as well as the financial analysis and investment unit. The board performance report is what they do for us on an annual basis. Obviously, the one of the targets that we have set for them is that they must, going forward, through the integrity frame, management framework, the number of cases of, for instance, of board members or executives that are conflicted, we want to see those going down. We want to have a surveillance a system, and lifestyle audit is one of those that the SOEs have now rolled out that will be able to give us a heads up if there's a likely to be an area of conflict or a potential for corruption to happen, and that must be addressed as a matter of urgency. We have the shoulder management bill. We have been given a directive that we must have a bill in the draft bill in place by the end of the year, and that's what we're working towards. And this, the work is being overseen by the Presidential SOE Council. There is a working group that is of governance that is overseeing that particular effort. As you may recall, Chair, we are the secretariat to the PSEC SDPE. And then we have a new unit that we have started. And what they are doing is one of the first tasks of what they've done is to ensure we have a central database of all forensic audit reports that have been undertaken over a couple of years, over the last few years by our SOEs. Because one of the realizations when this minister arrived, our current minister, Minister Gwadan, arrived, is that the boards and the executives are not reacting to these reports. And what we have, we did at the time was to give a directive that the recommendations, as well as the findings, must be implemented. And where people have been found wanting, action must be taken. So we monitor that to ensure that that is happening. This note, Chair, is speaking to what we've just spoken to now. This one is on board performance evaluation framework. The finance part of Program 2, the Chair, they are responsible for ensuring that those quarterly financial reports that get submitted are reviewed and recommendations from the department are made in the investor brief that we send back to the SOEs. The corporate plans are reviewed, and when they come in within the quarter one, so that we can advise the SOE whether they're on the right path in terms of the shoulder conflict that we have agreed to. Progress reports, they are responsible for coordinating their development. And one of the very critical jobs that they will be doing for us this year is to ensure that we have a dividend policy framework. As much as our SOEs are in financial trouble today, but going forward, we want to be in a position where we can be able to say that in the national budget, so much percentage of that those funds are coming from dividends from SOEs. And that's what other countries are able to say. A few years back, fortunate to go to Vietnam, and they also have a centralized management of the SOEs. They're able to say 40% of our economic activity in this country is due to SOEs, and we sit around 5% here. And they're able to say 30% of the revenues of the state in the budget come from SOEs. So that's, we should be able to get to that particular point. And not only for that alone, Chair, SOEs also have proven to be great providers of good opportunities for our people, be they engineers, be they pilots, be they foresters. That's where our people are getting substantive employment opportunities. What we're saying here is that our SOEs are constrained, and the department shall strengthen its monitoring to ensure that we restore the finances. And of course, we're going to have to be innovative in terms of how we raise funding to recapitalize these entities due to the constraint fiscals that we are dealing with. And of course, that one of the tools that we use is the corporate plan in terms of its review to ensure foremost what we always look out for is we are not preparing a corporate plan that's saying that you are going to destroy value. the heart of the business, Chair, where the actual monitoring of the SOEs in terms of operational effectiveness as well as in terms of socioeconomic impact happens in Program 3 and what we call the Business Enhancement Industrialization. Some of the socioeconomic measures that we monitor are reflected on here, 75% on local content, 75% on preferential procurement, BBB compliance, CSI spend, enterprise development contribution, and also spend on skills development. The environmental unit is also in this particular space, and that's we have developed our own environmental implementation plan in line with the legislation, and we also have spoken to the climate change response initiatives at our SOEs. We also track that. And of course, I've spoken quite extensively on why transformation is so important. And of course, the sub-units, energy and resources, that are responsible for ESCOM, ALEXCO, and SELFCOM, that is responsible for ensuring that there's a shoulder compact in place, that are responsible for ensuring that the deployed capacity of these entities is being properly utilized, and that KPIs like electricity reserve margin as well as in energy availability factor are being adhered to. The restructuring of ALEXCO is a process that is underway. Our expectation is that what is ALEXCO head office must be collapsed into what is ALEXCO PSJZ. And in the long run, we must find a solution for the fragmented ownership of mining assets, with some sitting in the Department of Mineral Resources, and of course with ALEXCO sitting here with us. And we have recommendations that we have made in that regard, which are being processed through government. And SAFCOL is seeking to improve the amount of processing of their soil logs, and that is as a percentage of the revenues realized. One of the critical projects that they're undertaking is the upgrading of the Timber Dollar sawmill up in Venda, which is very critical in terms of ensuring that the saw log that is produced up there is able to be moved down as a higher value product. And most importantly for them as well, they need to diversify their income streams at SAFCOL. The reliance on the solo product has not been good for the business, because that tends to follow the demand for solo, tends to follow the cycle, the economic cycle that we are in. And of recent, with the challenges we've had in the economy, that has had their revenue line. So we have said they need to mitigate that. And better generation, 1,000 megawatts by 2024 is a target that we are looking at. And bundling, I've spoken quite a bit about it earlier. And of course, the energy unit, their critical task is to ensure that the maintenance programs that's being undertaken to avoid future load shedding events is being undertaken properly. And also that the build program, which is really coming to the end of, that is being executed properly. But most importantly, I must add that additional capacity provided by the likes of embedded generation and also additional capacity that procured recently by the DMRE is what ultimately will help us to work ourselves out of the trough we are in terms of energy available, electricity availability. The transport and defense team, that's where Transnet and DINAL are overseen. In relation to DINAL, that delivery on their major programs, what they normally call cardinal programs, is very important. So what we do, we monitor that the milestones of the quarter are being adhered to, especially the payment milestones, and that there's proper invoicing that is happening so that the cash can flow into the business. As you know, Dinel has suffered of late with poor program performance that is reflected in poor financial performance. On the Transnet side, the container terminals, the turnaround times, that's what the team also assesses and provides regular reports on. And of course, the TMPA commercialization or corporatization is what we have spoken to earlier. The transport system, its predictability as well as cost effectiveness is a target that we're aiming at. And also the corridors are also monitored in terms of performance and obviously monitoring the corridor strategy that is being implemented by Transnet. The structuring of DINEL is obviously quite critical for us as well in view of the reduction in revenues in recent times. So we need to size the industrial capability or the manufacturing capability to that size and ensure going forward that we can grow from a strong and sustainable base. And of course, on Transnet side, the availability of rolling stock at the right time in the corridors is also important. We have an economic research and modeling team. We have given them the responsibility for project managing the just energy transition work that's been done at ESCOM. What they do as well is provide regular reports in terms of what's happening on the economic front, be it local, regional, or global, and also the specific industry reports that are expected of them. And then, Chair, lastly, coming to the resources that we have at our disposal, the department has been allocated 175 million rands for compensation of employees and 110 million rands for goods and services. And these are figures, as you see them going to the right, are relatively flat in real terms. That reflects the tight financial fiscal environment that we find ourselves in. So within those figures, we have to ensure that we perform the work that is expected of us. To go further down, the other significant numbers you see, there's a 36 billion rands. That's we are a conduit for recapitalization of our SOEs. Obviously, ESCOM is a big component of that. And then we have 1.7 billion rands reflected on there. That is for SAA as part of the commitment to fund its restructure. So what we have sought to do here, just if you had to look at our allocation for 2021, it's at 77.8 billion rands. And if you look at what we have just shown you, it's at 36 billion rands is what we'll be getting. But what we're just showing, those are just funds that flow through the department budget vote to the entities. ESCOM in the previous year had received 56 billion rands, SAA 20 billion rands, Express, there were 154 million rands of guaranteed commitments that we needed to take care of. And of course, DINEL received 576 million rands to enable it to take care of some of the guaranteed liabilities that were sitting there. What I've said earlier is that in terms of our allocations, we are relatively flat, but we'll have to do with that. We'll have to be innovative in how we get skills into the department to enable us to monitor these very complex businesses that we're entrusted with. And of course, what we have had is we have had to take a cut like everyone else within government. So that's where I will stop, and thank you very much for this opportunity to to present. If I can hand over to you, thank you so much.
Comrade Chairperson Motivi.
Yeah, DG, and thanks to my co-chair, the chairperson of the portfolio committee. I will allow members to engage with the presentation as presented by the Director General. As always, I'll call the names and allow. There are any other members that I might have missed, they will indicate, then we'll allow the department to respond. I'll start with the Honorable Gumede, followed by Honorable Maotwe, followed by Honorable Mkwanazi, and then Honorable Bibi, the NCOP side, Honorable Arnold, and Honorable Ngwent. In that order, I saw the hand.
You seem to have omitted my name. I know.
I'm coming to you, Honorable Kachale. As long as you don't have 16 questions, I'm coming to you.
Probably have 20.
Yeah, 20 something. No. I'll come to you. This will be the first batch. I'll come to the members that I have not called the names. Can we go, Honorable Gumede?
Good morning, Chair. Am I heard?
Yeah, audible.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chair. And good morning to members, as well as the Deputy Minister, the DG, and the rest of the members that are present. Chair, thank you very much for the presentation, and one wish to acknowledge the presentation and say as well that we understand that we are living in a very critical times where it is very, very much to assess the performance of either the department or the SOEs due to this pandemic that we have. As usual, Chair, the department as a department, when it comes to such performances, you'll find it that it will always excel close to 100%, if you want to say. But when it comes to the SOEs, that's where we are really going weak. So my question is, as presented by the DG, accepting the constraints of the SOEs, what can we do to improve the submissions of the financial reports or the performance plans from the SOEs? I differ slightly with the notion that says the SOEs, some of them failed to submit because of COVID. The non-submission started long time ago. Yes, there may be few other cases where the submission could have been caused by the pandemic, but as such, that's definitely not the case. I am as well, Chair, worried a little bit about DINEL. I've been trying to do the analysis. My analysis, it tells me that we've got three SOEs that may be self-sustaining. And we have four that in fact we are saying that are limping and they need a very close kind of monitoring. However, when it comes to budget allocation, ESCOM is one of those that are weak because it's always funded from the fiscal. But when it comes to allocation, the allocation is Eskom benefited, I think it's 31.7. SAA will be benefiting, I think it's 4.8, yes. And SAA Express Chair, its fate is unknown in the sense that you are saying that it's facing a potential liquidation, but at the very same time, there is an outstanding sales agreement that is to be finalized. It's not really, you are not really sure whether they are in or out. But when it comes to Dinel, the 576 that we talk about is the remnants of the 2019 and 2020, which in fact has been consumed in 2021. In terms then of improving the revenue performance on the side of Dinel, we don't have resources, right? However, the department has come up with very good strategies and very good recommendations. How do we make sure that Dinel does survive the situation? And Dinel is a unit that we cannot afford to lose. Chair, let me say the other observation is that perhaps the DG did not outline it most. Is that the concern was, in many instances, we have some cuts, which I'm not sure whether the department may be in a position then to perform its expected performances if there are cuts of that nature. But Chair, let me then wait there, hoping that if there is another opportunity, then I'll come back. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Maud.
Good morning, Chair. Did you say Honorable Maud?
Yes.
Oh,
Honorable
Ompil. Okay. Oh, okay. Your network is failing you. So I just wanted to make sure. Thank you very much, Chair, and good morning to the fellow colleagues. Good morning to the DG of Public Enterprise. Gigi, can you explain once again the 6 employees of Alexo that are referred to in your presentation? I didn't get that one quite clear, so if you can assist me there. And I see that you want to, on slide, says page 0, you want to change your current oversight process to what is reflected on as a balanced model. But what exactly is going to change? Because I fail to see how your oversight process is changing. The next slide after that one, it tells me about the process itself, which is just theory and nothing really tangible that you are telling us your department is going to do. But the next slide tells me about how you would want to move to a balanced model. Now, how is this going to be different from your current model? And then the next one is your strategy review. Once again, Gigi, you're not telling us what the NGP says, position SOEs to support the reindustrialization of the South African economy. But on your part, there's nothing that you're talking about implementing this reindustrialization, how you are going to go about supporting their industrialization. Instead, you are telling us about governance, which is a good thing, but develop a strong stakeholder implementation of infrastructure programs. But you're not answering the question of how you're positioning the SOEs to support the industrialization. Maybe you can clarify that one. And then moving to the measuring outcome, I see here you're saying on program one, socioeconomic impact, increase the contribution by SOE in support of transformation of the South African economy. And your baseline is new, fair enough. Your target is 5 years and you are saying 80%. Are you saying you are pushing for SOEs to support the transformation of the South African economy by 80%? Their contribution is going to be 80%. And if so, from when until when? What's your five-year target? Is it 2020 to 2025? And how do you then oversee that this thing is moving? What's your target annually to achieve your 80%? And I think let me pause there for now, Chair. Those are the fundamentals that I want DG to respond to. I'll come back later to engage more. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mkhwanazi.
Thanks, Chairperson. Can you please allow me not to open my video because of the network where I am?
Okay.
Am I audible?
You are audible.
Thank you so much, Chairperson. Greetings to you, Chairperson, honorable members, the department led by the DG. Chair, I only have 3 questions. On the mandate of the DG on the annual performance plan, the departments talk about the DPE does not have on second number two. Does not have a legislator's constituted mandate. I want to check with the DG on the progress of the bill, and are they confident that they will meet the targeted set on the processes, the timeline set on the processes. Secondly, on the priorities of the department, B is talking about the private sector participation. Can maybe the DG take us through on the positive response and participation or the indication of the interest of the private sector to participate or to invest in the programs? But on DG, on the restructuring office, can he talks on the processes and the timelines of that process? Maybe Chair, I wanted to say maybe in another PC where we can have a set time on the issue on the progress on G on corruption, that maybe we can get a detailed report on the current state of recoveries within the department and the SOEs in fighting against corruption. Lastly, Chair, on the budget analysis, I want to follow on what Honorable Kumede stated with the impact of COVID-19 virus. Is the department be able to give us a detailed plan on how we'll overcome the effects of the lockdown that SOEs suffered, though especially those SOEs that were already in the distress. For now, Chair, thank you very much. I'm sorry about my voice. I think I'm catching a flu. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Honorable Mkhwanazi. Honorable Bini.
Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson. Greetings to both of you Chairpersons and also the colleagues. Chairperson, I've just got 2 questions. The first one is, and also thanks for the presentation. One of the challenges that has contributed, Chairperson, to the collapse of some of our state-owned enterprises, it has been the appointment of the board members who sit into many board companies and sometimes with no relevant skills. Chairperson, my question there is, how have you resolved the problem with regards to the appointment of the new board members. And the second question, Chairperson, is in terms of your oversight responsibilities, especially over SOCs such as Alesco and Safcol, what have you done up to so far in resolving the challenges facing these two SOCs? For example, the completion of the deed of settlement at Alesco and the post settlement at Safcol, between land claims and Safcol. Thank you, Chairperson. Those were my two questions.
Thank you very much. Honorable Arnold.
Thank you, Chairperson, and greetings to all the honorable members and then also to the Deputy Minister and then to all the officials present. Chairperson, yeah, let me just go into the questions that I have. The first question that I want to pose is the department has set out in the five-year plan to stabilize state-owned companies. Now, my question is, was this a realistic target, seeing that some of them have collapsed completely, while most of them are unsustainable because of many reasons well known to South Africans? And how are you going to save the struggling entities? Then my second question is, in terms of the risk integrity management framework, can the department, are the department confident that it will deliver in terms of the risk integrity management framework to enhance oversight practice? Will there be results? And if yes, does your department have the capacity? The other question is, in terms of the recovering of monies, this must not only be a priority on paper, but we want to see targeted actions and results in this regard. Then, Chairperson, the next question is, we know that state-owned entities has their own strategic plans, but why did the department fail in their oversight responsibilities and mandate to early detect operational challenges? Then, in terms of reducing the number of cases concerning board members and employees doing business with state-owned companies, and the process of vetting of employees, why reduce is this not sending out a wrong message to employees in the department and to those state-owned entities? And then in terms of slow spending on compensation of employees that is due to vacant posts, how does this impact on the department's services or what the department is doing? Then, Chairperson, in terms of strengthening your department's capacity in order to ensure more effective oversight, with reference to recruitment of individuals with sector expertise and knowledge, what progress was made till date? Then, Chairperson, I will leave the questions till that now. I will come back again. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Arnold. Honorable Ngwenya.
Thanks, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear.
Okay. Thanks very much, Chairperson, and also thank you for the presentation. Chair, let me start by saying South Africa recently celebrated 27th anniversary on democracy. What are the success and the good stories that Department of Public Enterprise can tell Parliament? Second question, when will the department consult the committee on the government shareholder management bill, now known as the state-owned enterprise proposed bill and management model proposed? The bill was expected in the 2028-2019 review period, and I'm asking as to when the draft bill will be presented to Parliament for input. The third question, Chair, I want to know what are the latest developments regarding the various board members of the different SOEs? Are they convening meetings to address the various challenges faced by individual SOEs operations, be it financially, labor related, or legal issues? The fourth question, Chair, on the quality assessment target for financial assessment and investment. You have indicated that most of the SOEs overseen by the program are under financial strain, and you will strengthen this by monitoring and review all corporate place to ensure that they are on the right track. Now, Chair, my question is that is the target that you have set off to review annual enough to ensure financial compliance? What are your plans if this fails? My last question, Chair, is on performance over mid-term period. The presenter, Chair, reported talks on skills development, on learning by the SOEs to mitigate transformation of the economy and skills shortage. We appreciated the collaboration with the Department of Women, Youth and Persons with Disability. However, to what extent is the Department of Basic Education and the High Education involved in ensuring that you achieve your goals of development skills? Ngiyabonga
sir. Thank you very much, Ma'am Ngwenya. We'll now move to Honorable Modise, Honorable Command, Honorable Kachalia. Yeah, in that order, then I'll come to the last batch of names.
Good afternoon, good morning, Chairperson. And let me greet the Honorable Deputy Minister, DG, and my colleagues. Chair, I've got only two questions. The first question is the challenges that are contributing to ESCOM problem is a copper theft, electrical illegal connection, and the municipality debt. With this regard, three problems. What has ESCOM done to ensure that the three factors are no longer a threat to its financial sustainability? Second question, looking at your budget for 2021-22 financial year, will you say that this budget is enough for the department to be able to effectively oversee five state-owned enterprises that have not only huge budget but also a major project that requires specialist skills for proper monitoring. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mbise. Honorable Komane.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, colleagues, and thank you for the presentation, DG. But DG, let me one first start by stating that it is very disappointing to hear that the non-submission by the SOEs were the effect of COVID-19. That cannot be correct. And we should not condone bad practice by trying to protect them. It cannot be correct because even during COVID-19, work has been done. Some departments, some SOEs have submitted. So that is non-compliance. So I wanted just to record that and to put that on record for the department, not to come in defense or to portray defense or of non-submission. Chair, having said that, one expresses again a very serious concern about the performance of the boards, particularly that one of DINEL, because they came to the committee and we have witnessed that there is a problem there. But having said that, maybe one would then need to know from the department as to what engagement or what support is given. We know that board members have got their mandate, but equally there is the department. What is their role? How are they supporting them? And how do we foresee things being done differently? Again, Chair, in terms of the support of the SOEs, we acknowledge that the department has identified challenges. But then we need then to ask this question. What exactly or what methods will be put in place to assist the same SOEs or to support them? And Chair, finally, maybe, if we agree and acknowledge the fight by the department, the fight of corruption. But in the presentation, very little was said about this. And we hope the department should put more flesh to the bones that they presented to us to say what are measures that they have put in process to fight this corruption, and how much or how far have they gone in recovering the monies that were lost due to corruption and theft. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Komane. Honorable Katalia.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the presentation would be an adequate and a good presentation under normal circumstances. But we are not in normal circumstances. Under normal circumstances, you would monitor, report, produce plans, dashboards, shareholder compacts, and measure against these things as this presentation aims to do. But the reality is very different. And I'm sorry that the minister is not here. The reality, because he should know this, the reality is that we have 7 entities under our aegis. One is profitable with considerable challenges in terms of infrastructure and ongoing maintenance and development. But the others are a mix of bankruptcy, reckless trading, liquidation, and more, all draining the fiscus to the tune of billions and billions. Now, with reference to the very vision and mission that has been presented, there's a patent failure. One of my questions is how different from every single previous process and statement are these? I don't see any SWOT analysis or statement whereby which would expose and drive the financial stability of operations and financial stability and operational robustness as is required, or highlight the cost effectiveness in terms of procurement, contracts, tenders, the cost of BBBE, issues around CADA deployment and corruption. These are things that need to be examined beyond the broad normal headlines as if we are just dealing with things in due course. There's no specific discrete analysis or framework to analyze public-private partnerships. There is no particular framework which says, here's the line in the sand that acknowledges market failure and what we are going to do in face of this market failure. So then there are questions around, you know, what is the, which is referred to, what is the president's SOE Council doing since its inception? What progress? What has been achieved? What are the timelines for the white and green papers? What are the drivers for cost effectiveness? You know, we need to understand all these things. So we're given targets, improve EAF as far as ESCOM is concerned, no cross-subsidization in ESCOM, that's why the divisionalization, surely that should apply to Transnet as well, because there's cross-subsidization there, which affects investment in ports and the like, and then the issues around ports and efficiencies. But, you know, we need to establish these monitoring units. How different are they from what was in place for many, many, many years? In terms of local content, which is talked about, was not this the objective in the past? How do we learn from the past to mitigate the same mistakes in the future? Because we don't appear to be doing this in this framework. In terms of preferential employment, BBBE, we talk about a refocus that's required. But we need an analysis of the past focus and how the past focus contributed to the failure in these specific areas, and then improve on this. This requires a granular approach, not just this generic approach which we are presented with. Any secondhand consulting house could come up with this document. Really, it's not good enough. We are in trouble here, and troubled times call for extraordinary interventions. You know, so I could. Those are the big questions, but they're also granular questions which are absent here. You know, in terms of ESCOM, there's about granular, and I'm not going to go into all the questions. I've written many, but I could provide. I'll ask these questions of the individual entities when I meet with them, when I see them, and when we interrogate them. But they refer to. I'll give you examples to. Pertinent questions around load shedding, for example. Why did load shedding occur during COVID when we had the lowest demand since 2007? Is the maintenance program not working? Surely that requires a focus, because otherwise we're going to be in trouble. Then there's the question of debt. The Department of Minerals and Energy will assign 2,000 megawatts in PPAs to ESCOM. It will assign to the ESCOM balance sheet. How is ESCOM going to deal with this increased debt situation? These are the pertinent questions. And yes, they apply to the entities, but the monitoring of these entities needs to take these issues and put them on the table and dissect them in a very clear and concise way. Otherwise, we are just sitting here looking at presentation after presentation, ticking a few boxes, and then saying, oh my God, we failed again. So, you know, those are the key questions. They apply to all the entities, to Alex Corp. You know, you can, there are questions around, there's no dividends for the past 6 years. What has happened to the geological report which sat there? these need to be looked at. And then, you know, we need to say, we talked about, the presentation talks about new strategic options. Can we have visibility of this? How does it incorporate contractors, infrastructure investment, security, payments to community, partnerships, SAFCOR, the land issues, the visibility of the land claims for ESCOM? Where is the money going to come from to invest into loss-making situation, to invest into new sawmills and fix outdated tech and equipment, which has been referred to. Transnet, the road to rail issue, we don't have to go into that in detail. It's a major question because currently road is kicking the backside of rail, and that needs to be fixed. And we need to know how and what it will cost, and indeed, is it possible to fix? What about cross subsidies, as I referred to, pipeline security, details of private sector involvement, the whole ports issue? These are important issues. When we talk about aviation, over 5 years ago, the minister announced in a speech that he was looking for a strategic equity partner. It's 5 years down the line. The thing is bankrupt, and we're still looking for a strategic equity partner in a new entity, which we haven't even got sight of what it looks like. I mean, come on, we need to fix this. These are extraordinary times, and if we don't, we'll sink the country we live in, because these seven entities are responsible for a hell of a lot in this country. Now, we need to address this. We know the details of SAX to a large degree, but let's get the details and the timelines and who the investor is and what they're bringing to the table. These things drag on. This is what the DPE should be looking at in granular, in the broader framework and in more granular framework. I won't even talk about Danel because that's there's so many issues there. So we need a new approach. It cannot be business as usual. A qualitatively different approach is needed. And I'd like to see, and I'd like my colleagues to support me, to say that we need evidence and sight of this approach, not the same old, same old, same old stuff, which has got us into this problem. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Michel and Honorable Gami, unless there is any other one, I want to finish with Honorable Chabalala. Is there any person I missed that needs to engage? Okay, in that order, Honorable Michel.
Thank you, Chairperson. You know, a lot has been said and a lot has been covered by my colleagues that I had on my list. There's just a couple of additional stuff I would like to mention. And, you know, I would like to see how we're actually going to attract skill sets in order to assist our SOEs to perform better. What strategic plan has been put in place in order to do that? You know, I would also like to find out, it says that there's 3,100 employees employed with Danel at this stage. Are these employees all still on the books? Because as far as I know, the employees have not been paid for a year, almost a year, and many of the employees of Danel have now left. And how will we attract a skill set in order to assist Danel to rebuild it and recapitalize itself? Because at this stage, Danel has no capital funding for any projects that they might get. And the situation is dire. We've become a risk in terms of combat readiness, especially for the SA Air Force. And how are we going to turn this around? I would also like to see, you know, that we receive continuous reports aligned with what we are aligned with our budgets and our APPs and what new strategic operations are going to be put in place. Because it doesn't help, as my colleague has said, you put it on this report, but we actually don't know what you're anticipating doing. So I'd like to know what's going to happen there. I'd also like to know how many employees, state employees and board members are actually doing business with our SOEs, and what does that amount to in terms of monetary value? Because we haven't seen any report in terms of that, and I'd like to know what the status quo is of that. And then also, you know, what does the department, the DPE, anticipate, you know, in terms of attracting private investors and unbundling SOEs to ensure that we start building up the financial viability of these SOEs and we don't continue declining? Because as far as I'm concerned, one of my colleagues said that we cannot blame COVID for this. This has been happening for many years prior to COVID, and every year it just gets worse and worse. So, you know, we need some extraordinary intervention so that we can see a change in these SOEs. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mitchell. Honorable Gunning.
Thanks, Tim. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions, three at most. When you talk about corporatization of these SOEs, what does that mean? Where has this been benchmarked from? Have you maybe looked at Ethiopia, for instance, which would be an almost similar situation to ours, because at some point, you remember, Ethiopia was very poor. In fact, there was hunger there. But they've been able to turn around the situation. Their airline is among the top four best performing in the world, and I think it's number one in Africa. And what does corporatization mean in simple terms? Because it might be confused as privatization, whereas it may mean something different in other contexts. That's the one clarity I'd want to seek. Two, in terms of these SOEs, most of them are businesses, and they have a product that they produce. For those products, they are markets. Yes, we are finding ourselves in financial distress. Those of us who were there when we visited Transnet, for instance, an issue was highlighted that no, they are competing with the private sector in the same space. But our processes are full of bureaucracy in such a way that it takes almost 6 months to procure a simple item, whereas in the private sector, their turnaround period is almost 7 days. So to what extent do our laws and the bureaucracy that is attached thereto hinder progress and adversely affect these SOEs in terms of their balance sheet and their income generation capacity? Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Gamini. Honorable Shabalala.
Thank you so much, Chair, and good morning to everybody in the meeting. And let me welcome the presentation and the APP from the department. Chair, largely my colleagues would have covered, you know, Honorable Gumet and Honorable Bibi and Honorable Ngwenya, to a large extent some of the areas. Obviously, I would have wanted to advance in, but let me just quickly go to them. The matter of board members' appointment, as Honorable Bibi would have said, I just want to know the issue of vetting. And do we continuously do the clearance certificate and make sure that those board members that we appoint, we're able to vet them and so that we don't have issues of lifestyle matters and corruption that at times, and it's not only for board members, but in this instance, I'm just putting it across there. But furthermore, just to say, how do we handle DG, the issue of on the board members, this double dipping or triple dipping or four dipping, I don't know, where a person will just serve in same entities or rather entities within the portfolio moving around. How do we gauge necessarily this type of a member of being a board of stature? Are they able to bring critical skills and they're able to bring some sort of change in where they're saving, if they're saving in many boards more than one? the shareholder management bill, I think, Luke, you did mention on the APP that you would want to table it. But the question is, do we really think that we're going to meet the timeline of 2022 when we are able to really table this shareholder management bill? But coupled with that, we'll also remember is the portfolio that there is a presidential SOE council that to large extent seeks to do almost what the shareholder was supposed to also look into as part of those. And the question becomes that perhaps if we can get a feedback, it might not be now, just to get, you know, time to time as the public enterprise and the select committee, just that report really, how far is it at this point. The program business enhancement and industrialization, I'm interested in the issue of the BE. The broad-based black economic empowerment, and of course the CSI spent enterprise development contribution, and the produce, you know. So I really feel that we need some sort of a report to be produced for us, so that we can really get the climate change responsive initiatives under that program. The matter on Chairperson on the SAA, I think, you know, one would have read in some of the reports about business rescue having had tabled its handover, something of that nature. You will explain it better, DG, that they are no longer in the already in the work, meaning they're out. They've given over to the board and, of course, to the department, the SAA. So the question that I have is that how far with the new airline and what are the timelines that we are looking at? But what's most important, DG, you might not give it to us now, but I really feel we need to have a report around that to say what are the lessons that we would have learned from the SAA and how we ran it, so that we don't take those mistakes and challenges to the new airline. And the matter of the equity partner, because that's where the issue is at. I want to know how far we are, and we don't really have to give it now, as long as we know that the processes are unfolding, and that's where we should be able to do oversight. But the issues of the workers' recruitment and retaining of critical skills, are we going to be able to do that? What's also important around the SAA matter is that the aviation industry, DG, remains the most not transformed. It's not transformed, and there's no sugarcoating it. It is time that even if we go to the new airline, I really feel, Chairperson of the sessions, that we need to address the issue of transformation, especially with the pilots, and so that we are reflecting the demographics and representation of a South Africa we want to build and South Africa we want to see in advancing this non-racial democratic South Africa. It's something that I think you need to do. The SA Express is being liquidated. We know that process, but and the legal processes and the repealing of legislation. And I want to know what will be required by the department in this instance. And do we still have persons or rather employees that we still owe, if that can be really given to us? DG, the matter on job creation, I think perhaps, and I'll submit to the portfolio committee, the Chairperson, Ngata Matibe, is that if we can get more of a spreadsheet that is able to reflect the types of jobs and the jobs that we have and the skill sets that we have within all these entities that we oversee, so that we're able to gauge and see this issue of the youth employment coming into the industry, as much as the DG would have highlighted that we're training, we've got lots of programs that we're seeing in different entities. In Transnet, we've seen when we went for our own oversight, lots of initiative on training and skills development, facilitators, and so forth. So I think that we need to have some sort of a spreadsheet so that we're able to really appreciate, as much as these SOEs have challenges, we're able to appreciate the work as well and the load that they do carry, of which it's something that we don't necessarily see with the private sector. Government still remains the largest employer, and that makes our economy to be very, very frustrated, and it's something that we need to be honest about. The point on load shedding, DJ, it's that time of the winter season, and I want to know, what are we doing to mitigate this? We understand the challenges, but the strategy to communicate, and I will still bring the matter of Soweto and across the country for that matter. We're headed local government elections, and you would understand that this is where the lives of councillors, ward councillors specifically, are threatened, the banning and so forth, and protests of illegal nature, but most of the time they come because of frustration of ESCOM and the load shedding part. How are we going to mitigate this and make sure that we save the lives as well of our own councillors? We are able to communicate with our local structures, be it in the regions and the provinces. We're having some sort of a coordinated way and how we're going to communicate this load shedding thing. The last point, Mr. Kachala speaks about this bankruptcy, liquidation, reckless lending. I don't agree with him. I think it's mostly the extreme when you say there is a reckless lending. How do you have reckless lending when there is budgeting processes, when there is treasury processes? It cannot be correct that we apportion that to that and we say we are reckless. Because if we are reckless, then it means I don't understand what we're doing here as a portfolio committee. So I really feel it's unfortunate, and those utterances around cater deployment. Cater deployment, Comrade Kachala, you'll find it in the politics. You might not find it really necessarily, and we shouldn't, within our public sector, because this is where we speak about governance, merits, and application. Let's speak about the performance of the department itself and our own SOEs, and don't really want to apportion the politics with this. We're very serious. We're at a time of very critical time when even us as public enterprise, as a portfolio committee, we need to make oversight in terms of work that we've been able to do as oversight and as recommendations that we've made, besides us ranting all the time and really having rhetoric. The last point, submit to the portfolio chair that can we visit part of our oversight in our program include the Durban port, so that we are able to visit the Durban port, and of course we do and the Mudupi and Kusile, and lastly the issue of checking out the South Coal in Mpumalanga and others. I really think that in our reflection, we need to be tight on oversight. We need to be on the ground. We need to go to the people now. We need to see these things, and I think it's better that way, so that we don't only sit in virtual meetings. So I submit. But thank you so much, and I think this is really, this APPs and this performance, it is taking us somewhere. It's giving us food for thought. We're really seeing the targets that would have been set by the department. DG, can we make sure that these targets also align to the NDP and what we have promised in the NDP? We're able to be able to cross them, engage them, and able to say when we report, this is what the NDP has highlighted to us, and this is what we would have done. And that way it means that then we are counting on the NDP for the government of the day. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Shabalala. Deputy Minister, DG and your team, you have had honorable members have engaged in quite a sessions. I hope you'll be able to navigate through all of them. If you are unable, those that you think would require a submission of a written submission back to the committee, and also an option, but I'm handing over to you, DM, to respond to the engagements by members.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and thanks again to the honorable members for the questions, the comments and questions they have made. I will just make a few remarks by way of picking on a few of the questions, and the Director General and the team shall then deal with the detail on the questions.
I just reacting, Chair, to the comment you have made. There is a suggestion that I think is made by Honorable Mkhwanazi, and I think in different ways other honorable members have spoken to that matter. Essentially, the suggestion is that specific to Honorable Mkhwanazi, it was the matter about a detailed report on progress in respect to the efforts aimed at curbing corruption. What progress has been made, the extent of the recoveries that have been made, and across all the entities, perhaps it is fair to accept the proposition Honorable Mkhwanazi was making that we may need a separate session in which a consolidated report that captures progress in respect of all matters related thereto, efforts at recoveries, how systematically we're rolling back corruption within all the entities. So if that is agreed, it suggests that maybe in the program of the committees, there may be slots provided for that. And then secondly, just related to that is the concern that Honorable Kachalia has made repeatedly on the nature of the information that is provided. I think repeatedly referred to the granular detail that is expected, which even if we wanted, we wouldn't be able to put that in the kind of report that we're making, because this report, essentially the presentation made here, is really a capturing for purposes of the time we have of the revised strategic plan of the department, which is a 5-year program, as well as customizing that to reflect an annual program in the annual performance plan. Even that, even though it's an annual activity, it cannot capture that granularity insofar as what is the detail in each of these areas. Perhaps again, the Honorable Kachalia makes the point that perhaps some of the detail may be extracted in the engagement with the respective entities, which is a fair proposition and an expectation. But I think it's one of the things that we've got to look at in how we devise the time as well as the extent to which we deal with these matters of such detail as involved in this. I may just say, extrapolating from otherwise the analysis that has been made to arrive at these performance indicators, this plan over this period of time, was premised on a very detailed examination of the objective reality that obtains. So in a way, if we would like to have sight of that detailed information, it is fair and it is accepted that only we've got to find a way to create an opportunity for that to take place so that we can get to that level of granularity. Thirdly, Chair, I'd like as well just to talk to the issue of the impact of COVID. It's a worldwide phenomenon, and it has had the effect of slowing down activity owing to the restrictions that had to be observed by everybody. And I think it continues to be to really make a cloud of uncertainty, particularly that there is still a possibility of an upsurge in the form of a third wave that we may have. Some other parts of the country have already declared that they are almost in that phase. So again, that brings a lot of uncertainty, because accompanying that are the levels of lockdown that get to be effected to respond to that. So yes, the COVID pandemic continues to be that factor of uncertainty going forward, for which mitigation must be made. But it is a fact that we are doing all the entities, including the private sector. Everyone is engaged in efforts to try and undo
much of the setback that the pandemic imposed. So it is indeed a challenge that we are all faced as not just the country, the continent, but the rest of the world. Honorable Modise speaks to, I'm just picking a few, Chair, I want to respond to each of the honorable members. The team is here for that. But Honorable Modise posed a question which I think is very succinct, but again, owing to the environment in terms of the fiscus we have, we cannot objectively say the budget we have is adequate for what we would want to see happen. We were part as affected like all other departments in which there had to be cutbacks that were done in order to respond to the crisis that the whole nation was facing. So yes, there have been systematic rolling up cutbacks on what we could do as the department, which has had an impact on the programs. The entities themselves have been affected. The issues of how we deal with the asset stripping, that reflects in how the thieving of the cables, as well as the damages done to installations, the power stations, including just transformers that help to bring electricity closer to people. That challenge continues to really bedevil the work of ensuring access to electricity in many parts in the country. It has caused for the mobilization not only of the state organs, even the prosecutorial function, the police, to be really brought together to focus on this matter, as it is a serious dent on the economy as a whole. So it is a matter that even ESCOM is engaged on a variety of strategies to deal with that. So is the issue of illegal connections, which impact negatively the stability of the system, the grid, etc. The issue of the non-payment of services, we have heard even the president at some point being out there making the call that our people, to the extent where they can't, government make every effort to support them, but there's got to be the payment of services by those who are in a position to do so. I think it's a call that many progressives within our communities are making. ESCOM can get even more support if even at these platforms were able to send across that message without any across political persuasions that it is the correct thing to do, the issue of the payment of services. Lastly, Chair, perhaps for me, it is the issue of the board. The number of honorable members that have spoken on the issue of board performance, board members that are appointed, the caliber of the appointments, the framework. I think since the identification of the need to strengthen governance in these state-owned companies, one of the key issues were the appointment of people who are fit for purpose, and that we have systems following that ensure accountability on the part of those who are appointed. The issue of the accountability framework within which boards operate, that introduces also a board evaluation in terms of performance, which are reported about annually, has been part of creating an environment in which not only are people who are appointed fit for purpose, but also they are held accountable to certain standards of good practice. It is a matter that has been instituted to try and improve insofar as the performance of the board members. That then will follow the others within the executive level, the management levels, to ensure the appointment of people who are fit for purpose, held accountable to performance insofar as the identified targets. Chair, these are just the comments I wanted to make in appreciating the wide-ranging matters that the honourable members have raised. I've not gone to each and every matter. I leave the DG and the team to really then start building, putting flesh within the skeletal system that I've just laid. I'm sure they'll go into further details in respect of the concerns the honourable members have made. Thank you very much, Chair.
DG?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'm going to ask my colleagues if I answer the questions to answer some of them. I'll ask them to note them, then they can come in and speak to those. So starting with Honorable Gumede, he asked the question as to what needs to be done to improve SOE performance. On that, you shall say, our SOEs are providing services and products in the market, and in some instances, of course, it's a captured market. If you look at Eskom, or you look at Denel in terms of what they provide as sole source providers to the SNDF, they have to provide the best service and the best product for them to remain in business. And in some instances, they are faced with competition. And if they are found wanting, and they lose out in the market. The airline industry is a typical industry. It's a deregulated market. So if you're not able to compete with what you're offering, you're going to have trouble. If the costs of providing the service or the product exceed the revenues that you are getting, you end up with a loss, and that's what we have. Now, how do you address that? Firstly, ensure that you have the right leadership team in place. You're capable people deployed throughout the business who have the technical competencies that are required. You invest in your operations to ensure that you are producing more efficiently than your competitors. So those are the basics that we need to put in place. There's a long list of other issues that I have not mentioned. But those are the basics that we must go back to. And those that are within our control, as DPE, that is ensuring we have a capable a board, which also has the necessary, which is credible and has integrity, that we must do well on our side as well. As the shoulders on behalf of the people, we need to ensure, or shoulder representatives rather, we need to ensure that we provide input in terms of how the operations, the products and services that they produce align to the national objectives. That's what needs to happen. That's what we are building towards. This is a long journey. The strategic plan that we put up is a five-year plan that we had put in place. We're in the second year of it. Slowly but surely, we are getting there. The fact that we had SAA that went into business rescue has now exited. It's a good progress that we are making. The restructuring that has happened at Alexco, which has led to six employees, that was the end of the 2020 financial year numbers. The head office numbers have reduced. We actually have one person now employed permanently at the head office, and even the 300 odd people that we had at the plant have had to be reduced accordingly. I don't have the latest numbers, and hopefully I will say we'll have those if he has them later on to provide to the meeting. In terms of submission of reports on time, DM has spoken to that in terms of the impact of the environment that we find ourselves in. But ordinarily, I agree that more efforts need to be put in this area. And there's other dependencies as well. For instance, the audit by the AG, because of COVID, that was also affected in terms of availability of capacity, and also the fact that we had to reduce the numbers within the public service in general, in terms of people that were in the office. So that is impacted on when the audits could be concluded. That's why the annual reports were delayed. But we, that definitely, that's an area that can improve, and as correctly put across by one of the members, that this is not a new problem. It's a problem that has been there for quite a while. An argument, the worry about the NEL is a worry that we all have. Our armed forces are reliant on products that are produced by DNL. The operational readiness and operational effectiveness are impacted by that. Honorable Clark also raised that. The executive team and the board at DNL have produced a new plan, a new business model for DNL. We are working on securing funding to ensure the structuring of the business. And we'll get there, and we have said it in the past, that the troubles that DNL has found itself in was a direct result of some of the bad appointments that were made there with the last board that we had at DNL. Some of the decisions that made, like, for instance, getting rid of what was an effective executive team that we had there. Now, if you are a business like DNL that is very much reliant on the capital market to raise its funding, we don't do things like those. And as the market tightened on its provision of funding to DNL, we started to see the operation grind into a halt. And that's what we are dealing with. We are trying to correct today. And going forward, you must learn from that and ensure that you put the best people that you can find in these particular roles. And I hope more of South Africans will avail themselves to serving on this board. More of the capable South Africans with credibility and integrity will avail themselves to serving them through. DM has spoken to the cards at the department. I will not speak to that. Honorable Maltu, that is the end of the 2020 financial year report numbers that we put up on the six employees. But what they do not have is obviously the PSJV is an unincorporated entity which is not part of Alexco. We'll give you the revised numbers in terms of number of people that employed there. And I would say if you have them, you can speak to that when your turn comes. The oversight model that we have, it's really what we're seeking to do. We are seeking to tweak the model, and we're seeking to ensure that the national priorities are strongly reflected in our targeting. And if you, the annual performance plan that we have put out, the MTSF targets are very prominent in there. It's a direct product of the tweaking of this oversight model. And as correctly put it, it's, these are ultimately start out as theoretical models. But what we are seeking to do is, in terms of how we organize ourselves, as they say, structure follows strategy. As we organize ourselves in the department, we are reflecting that particular the process that is reflected in what we have shared with you this morning. And it's an iterative process. Some the inputs that you have given us it is very much welcomed, where you indicated that we could have a one-to-one. We could reflect a one-to-one relationship between the NDP, the departmental objectives, as well as in terms of slide 11. And I've noted that, and I've actually added a dot there to say industrialization, we could put it in there. And also to the same effect on the SOC side. And I appreciate that particular input, and we will adjust it accordingly. The target on I think there's a preferential looking at saying what is the annual target. We have 80% at the end of the fast. It's 75%. So we want to move from 75% to 80%. And that's what we have been monitoring our entities on. But ultimately, as I was indicating, these have to be authentic numbers. And these have to be numbers that at some point you are able to come here and say, as a result of our SOEs placing attention on SMME development, on supplier development, these are entities that today exist out there that are employing so many people These are young people that that have now owned businesses that in the past would not have owned this kind of business. These are the black entrepreneurs that are now in the system because our SOEs have made it possible. And Chair, what I will also propose to the committee is a spotlight, as GM has said, a spotlight on corruption, anti-corruption activities. Maybe a spotlight on transformation is something that should be done as well. The department, the SOEs, come and share with yourselves as representatives of the people to say what is it that have been done to change the lives of people, to open up new opportunities for entrepreneurs out there. And maybe there can be a spotlight later on that is also put on the skills development program to say to the likes of SAA, if you have not been able to improve on the demographic representation of colors, why is it the case? What has happened here? Why 27 years down the line are we here? Why is the cadet program that you had not enabled you to do that? What are these impediments that you have that maybe legislatively could be unlocked? And we know, for instance, SA Express had done quite well in terms of transforming its pilot corps and been a very good training ground for some of the black pilots that made their way to SAA. So those are the things that we should put on the table at some point. Madam Konazi, on the issue of the SOE bill, I'm going to ask Makobe if he can speak to that after me here. Abase, and then come yourself. On the issue of the private sector is already quite involved, I must say, in our businesses. If you look on the port side, in terms of the port terminals, the majority of those terminals are operated by the private sector. So there's always an appetite from that particular state to move into this, to partner with our entities. If you look at the likes of Dinel, for instance, in terms of some of the systems that they produce, quite a large portion of those are produced by the subsystems that's produced by private sector players. But what is important for us is to say, how do you leverage that procurement power that our SOEs have, or that licensing power, to ensure more of our people find a role within these value chains? That's what we need to be looking at. And going forward, I mean, and that's something that as the SOEs come here to present to the portfolio, the question that you could be asking yourself as well, to say, what are you doing in terms of enabling a greater portion of this economy? If you controlled our people, the marginalized people, by women, I mean, that's another area that we don't talk enough about, the representation of women in boardrooms. And the SOEs, and we have done very well in that particular regard. We need to do better on the executive front. But in the private sector, that is not happening. Not happening. So how do we leverage our SOEs and their spend and their relationship with private companies to ensure that women and other marginalized people are given a fair opportunity? Honorable Mukwanazi, you asked the question on with regard to continuity of our operations and COVID-19. DM spoke to that, but also we should look also at this lockdown that we have. What opportunity does it give us in terms of resetting how we have done business in the past? So that's what those are some of the challenges that you know. Maybe we asked about progress on appointment of new members. We reviewed the board in 2018, and we brought in a new members at the time, and obviously those were subject to vetting to ensure we get the right people in. We have vacancies that are in place, that we have in place now. We'll be augmenting some of those boards, and the same process will unfold again. And obviously, integrity is paramount in what we are doing, so that we don't repeat the mistakes of the past. The issues of SAFCOL and ILEXCO and the challenges in the spaces where they are the deed of settlement, the land claims, those very much revolve around the work that our colleagues in the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform are doing. The community structures at Alex School, which need to be the recipient, for instance, of the land that has been restituted, are under administration by the department due to challenges in the community. So once those are restored, the same applies to the partner in the joint venture at Alesco, the Rakhtasel Mining Company is also under administration. So once those are cleaned up and proper governance and been restored, that they will enable the conclusion of the deed of settlement and transfer of what is due to the people of the Rakhtasel. And of course, what is critical is also to ensure how do we leverage the income that comes from the mine to ensure that, because the mine has a limited life. And I think as those that are in the know have said, it probably has less than 20 years of mining, of diamond mining left in Alex. Now, how do we ensure that those that income gets other businesses going that can continue to provide economic activity to the people of the rest of the world? Agriculture, by virtue of the Orange River where it is located, provides a great opportunity. So how do we, through ourselves and the other parts of government, how do we ensure that happens? And my colleague, Moronga, who heads up Alesco, has been quite involved in that particular space with other departments to see how our individual capacities could be harnessed to help the people of the rest of the world. The land claims, what the call that we've made from South Call, and when they come here to present, they will show you some of the things that they are doing with the communities there, to ensure that communities are empowered partners beyond the land claim settlement. So all of us would want to see those lands not being lost to forestry rather. And the only way to do that is for communities to see real benefit from forest being there. If they are looking at diversifying their income base, they need to be, how do we get more communities more involved, community-based enterprises more involved in their operations. The upgrade that we spoke about in Venda at Timber Dollar, how do they ensure that community-based enterprises play a bigger role there so that the benefits or the income that gets in flows into the communities doesn't go to entrepreneurs that are coming from outside those areas, outside those particular communities. And of course, eventually, as the settlements are done, whatever form and shape that's of South Coast that will emerge later on, it has a real meaningful partnership with the communities. The Honorable Arnold, the question that you asked is how are we going to ensure that these entities become sustainable and profitable business going forward. In a way, I've answered it earlier, but what we are doing through improving governance, through ensuring effective capital injection, through reviewing of business models, we are aiming towards that particular objective. And Margaret will speak to the integrity framework later on. Recovery of funds, DM has spoken to that in terms of there could be a focus at some point to look at that. DP failure to detect wrongdoing at SOEs. The rod did not stop at the SOEs. The rod made its way to DPE. It has been adequately covered, I think, in media in terms of what happened, the role that the DPE played in terms of appointment of boards during that particular time to enable the capture of the SOEs. So that's really the main reason why DPE did not do its role, and that's what we are trying to correct here within the department. And I think you are raising a fair point. Why reduce and not eliminate corruption? I guess we are working towards its total elimination, but I guess where people are always in the loop, the question that we ask ourselves, whether we'll totally eliminate wrongdoing, you know, there's always a bad apple or bad potato in every bag. So how do you ensure that that potato doesn't make it to the bag? I think that's a philosophical question. That hopefully through our systems and processes, including preventing lifestyle audits and so on, and technical framework that Makobe will speak to, we're hoping to address. On recruitment, we are making slow progress in terms of filling up the structure at the department. We issued a big advert in December last year. I must say the response from the market was not great. We are doing it again. But we have been quite fortunate in that we have had colleagues that we literally borrowed that have come in to augment capacity in the department. And some of the private players have been quite useful in that regard. And also we're getting colleagues as well from other departments that are expressing that they would like to join us, which is great. So we're also obviously assessing those to ensure we get the best people that we can find in here. Mangwenya, the focus on transformation that will happen at some point, hopefully will answer your question as well in terms of what has been the contribution of DPE to the 27 years that we have seen. You know, in 1994, these businesses were not transformed. Now, literally, there was in professional and management and executive levels, there was hardly any person of color. That has changed quite a bit since then. Yeah, we have seen the amount of investment that has been committed by SOEs in improving their capacity during that 27 years. And what you are raising here is maybe a point that colleagues should just take note of to say, how do you articulate this into a document that could be made available to yourselves as well to see what is it that we have done really in the 27 years? What is the amount of investment that has gone in and what has been the returns for South African people? And really, I really appreciate that question. And I think I will not be able to do justice to in answering it now, but let's see what we can do on it going forward. Yeah, and I hope you have noted that. The progress on SO Bill, Makobe will speak to that. On our boards are meeting, the committees are meeting. Mangwenya, we are addressing issues during this period. Though some of them are constrained in terms of numbers, but I would say in terms of their fiduciary responsibilities, we have not found them wanting. The nature of scheduling of our reviews is fed by the number of reports that we get we get quarterly reports in terms of performance from our SOEs. We have obviously an annual review that culminates in the AGM. But the point that I was making earlier to say we want to get to a point where we get real-time data from our SOEs so that we can be able to have a, you know, real-time status, especially of operations. As we're sitting here, you know, we have enough capacity deployed, for instance, to enable the movement of freight across our country. Those are some of the questions that we want to be able to answer fairly quickly. We have fairly good collaboration with the Department of Higher Education and training, some of the funding that has been provided to enable our SOEs to train beyond their own needs has come from these from National Skills Fund through this particular department, and we are also working very closely with them on the social plan for SAA. So in that front, we are doing relatively well. We have now started on a project with the Department of Women, Youth and People Living with Disabilities, where we are assessing the representation of women across our SOEs, obviously in leadership positions across the private sector listed companies and also some major private companies. We want to put the data out into the open. Hopefully we can get that to be published before the Women's Month, so that we can start having some proper conversations as South Africans. To say, when we talk about social cohesion, transformation, equity, and transformation, of course, whose responsibility was it? It was not all of our responsibility. It cannot just be the responsibility of government. These private businesses operate on the basis of the license to operate is from South Africans. So what role are they playing in ensuring that our people are well represented? And that's a topic that we must have. We must say, why is Bank X not, why are we not seeing our people represented? Why am I not, as a client, not see myself reflected in the leadership of that particular organization? Those are the topics that we must have. And I'm hoping that will start, that will start that particular discussion. Honorable Modise, DM has spoken to the issue of municipal debt. On the copper theft and electricity theft, I think on that front, we have a fairly good working relationship with our law enforcement agencies. But of course, more needs to be done in that particular front to cap this particular sketch. And of course, our communities also should be the eyes and ears of the law enforcement agencies and our SOEs, because some of these people that especially we have seen the state of our railway lines and copper, especially that has been failing there, they meld, so to speak, into our communities once they have committed these acts. So we need to, that's an area that we need to work on strongly on. At some point we had the campaign Isinyoka by ESCOM. So those are some of the initiatives that we need to see coming to the fore again. The budget adequacy, the DM has spoken to it. The community blackouts, I think this particular point we have dealt with, and Marshall will also raised it. But what we do find in certain communities is that the infrastructure, the municipal infrastructure, distribution infrastructure that has been put in is not adequate to deal with an explosion of settlements, in some cases, especially informal settlements, and that they tap onto the electricity line. And as a result, the infrastructure cannot cope. We see the transformers blowing out as a result, and in some instances, it takes time for the municipal electricity departments to replace those, and that lead to some of the frustration that has been expressed to yourself. Of course, these sort of incidents we have also seen in areas where ESCOM provides distribution services. So where to more specifically has been mentioned. But also what we know as well has been happening in that area as well. There has been resistance to fitting of prepaid meters to ensure that our people admit their obligations for the electricity that they would have consumed. Makomani, the COVID-19 pandemic that has been dealt with, as you correctly put it, new methods are required to ensure sustainability of our SOEs. And that's really through the new plan, the strategic plan, the new LDP, that's what we are seeking to do. We're seeking to come up with new ways of doing things. We cannot keep doing the same things over and over again and expect different results. And that's what exactly what you are doing. Having, I must add, a fairly regular engagement with the SOE leadership board and executive to also get an understanding of how they are also redesigning their operations and their business models to ensure that they become sustainable going forward. The corruption question has been dealt with. Honorable Kachalia, you may not be noticing it, but there's quite a few things that have changed. If you were to go back on our APPs, and our strategic plan to see the different things that that you are doing now to change the fortunes of our SOEs. But that's some of the issues that you have raised. I mean, they may require special sessions to deal with them. I think you've spoken about how procurement is done in our space and some of the implementing controls that have been put in place. And I must say it's also a double-edged sword, because some of the additional controls that we've put, including that deviations must be approved centrally, what they do disadvantage our SOEs in terms of a quick reaction. So what we did is we put additional controls when we didn't have well-intentioned people running the business. We have now well-intentioned people there, but you still have the same controls. And of course, to repeal those tends to take time as well, and we must see improvement in performance and eradication of malfeasance for us to relax it. But if you speak to the SOEs, I will tell you, and there's been a reference to bureaucracy in our SOEs, and that's a direct result of that. But to a large extent, reflected on the questions that you have put to us and some of the commentaries that you have made. Let me say, we have the skills in our SOEs. What we have not had capable leadership and management. In some instances, there was a deliberate pushing out of those capable executives. We are addressing that. We're some of the best trained Tingal people in our SOEs, and that's a fact. And that's, irregardless of which SOE you look at, we have done well in that regard. And that's what we are seeking to achieve. And in the larger population of our country, we also have capable people that should be able to be attracted to assume positions of responsibilities in our SOEs. Getting employees, you are correct. The number that you reported is an audited number. Yeah, I think now below 3,000 terms of month we have that. At DNL, through natural attrition, obviously most of it has been driven by the fact that there's been a challenge to keep up salary payments at DNL. But as I indicated earlier, we're working very hard to address that. The issue of combat, DNL race combat readiness, we have spoken to that, but Bangani, I think you may want to come in and maybe speak some of the work that you're doing with the defense and the aerospace master plan. The report, we could provide the report, and Marco, you may want to speak to the report on board and employee dream business. There has been a drive to get everyone to declare their interests and to do lifestyle audits across the SOEs. Speak to that. Private capital attraction, I think I've spoken to that we already have quite a bit of private sector operating in our SOEs. And of course, going forward, where opportunities are avail themselves, we'll continue to bring those. But I must also add that private capital is not necessarily the panacea of all our problems. I mean, just that way, we have seen, instance, what sometimes is termed, the socialization of risk and the privatization of profits, and the instance of the banks crisis and how they were bailed out with public money, but when the profits come, they accrue to shareholders and to executives has been cited. So we need to do it in a way that South Africans who are the ultimate shoulders of these entities get a fair share. There's a fair risk-sharing arrangement that is put in place. That's how it must happen, and that's what we're intending to ensure happens. Honorable Dlamini raised the issue of corporatization of TNPA. What is the benchmark? What does it mean? The TNPA is a division of Transnet today. By corporatization, you make it a legal entity. It gets its own board and its own executive that will be accountable for its operation. That's what is meant by corporatization. In the same way that the unbundling of Eskom will end up with a transmission business which is 100% owned by Eskom, which is 100% owned by government. That's ultimately the kind of outcome that you'd have here. And this is a product of legislation that was passed in 2005 that said the Minister of Public Enterprises must ensure that that happens. So that's what we are seeking to do here. Then you made a comment on the bureaucracy, so it is, and that it takes 6 months to get a screw, a pen. That is a direct product of, you know, tightening of controls to ensure resources are properly spent. They do have unintended consequences, and we need to continually review this and ensure that they are addressed. Mashabalala, the spotlight on corruption will start to speak to the point that you've raised in terms of, you know, what kind of measures do you put in place to hopefully someday say that we have totally eliminated this scourge from our SOEs. The same way that in the public service today, you have to continually declare your interest. You have to all monitored in terms of what we are up to, so that we are not up to no good, so to speak. So that's what we expect them to do in the SOEs. The board members' effectiveness ultimately is a product of their capabilities, their training, their professional training, and of course ensuring that you have the proper processes that enable them to monitor the performance of executives. But that is an area that as we develop the new legislation, we need to put particular attention on. The bill, Makwabe will speak to it and whether we'll be able to meet the timelines that have been set for us. And those timelines, when they were announced, I think it was in the sauna at the end of the year, but they were not a negotiation. So Makwabe will speak more on that. On BBBE and CSI, really are speaking to transformation. And what is it? What is the progress that has been made there? Where are we saying the targets at the right level? I think once we are able to show you the results, and hopefully the spotlight comes onto this and into this particular area, we'll start to that. You asked about SAA, timeline to flying. We are in the midst of and the SAP discussions, let me say, are going very well. We are hoping the next couple of weeks we'll be able to give results on that, and that is also when we fly is linked to that. But independent of that process, the leadership, the executive team, interim executive and board that we have at SAA is working on a plan to get us flying. They have entered into power by our arrangements with on aircraft, so some of those will be arriving soon. So I don't want to take any thunder, so to speak, from them. I'm sure in due course we'll be communicating the rest of South Africans in terms of when we can see the SAA flag up in the air again. So, but the two processes are very much linked to each other. I've spoken to transformation. Job creation, that's one of the, under the large umbrella of transformation, that we need to speak to at some point and be able to give you numbers in terms of number of enterprises that have been formed, how many people are they employing off the offtake of the orders given by our SOEs. For instance, if we say there's an order book of, I don't know, 10 billion rands at Dinel, what does it translate to in terms of businesses out there that are able to get into that particular space? The same applies when you say there's a capital spend of 100 billion rands that Transnet will be putting into revitalizing its ports. What does it translate into in terms of number of enterprises, number of people that will be employed? That is the information that you deserve to receive so that you are in a position as well to be able to report back to your constituencies as to what these SOEs are doing to better their lives. And the point that you made on load shedding, that has that is well received. And that's a message that, that we keep running also on this side, that it can't be that the load shedding becomes a norm, becomes our way of life. The maintenance program that the ESCOM is undertaking needs to start showing real results, and real results of reliable electricity supply. And we need to get to a point where we are able as a result to see businesses investing in new industrial capacity because we have electricity to support it. And the, your visit operation that was directed at the chair, and then the, on NDP, focus on NDP. That's our guiding light, the 2030 targets that that have been set are reflecting the 5-year MTSF targets that were given in this APP. We have those targets prominently displayed as we explained how we translate them from MTSF into APP in the presentation we gave. Chair, let me ask Abase Melanchthon Makwabe, as well as Weekend Bandan, if they can come in to deal with their specific questions that are highlighted to them. Thank you, Chair.
Good afternoon, thanks Chair and honourable members. The first one is the number of staff members at ALESCO. We have got 204 temp, and also for the ESGV we have got 76 permanent and 51 temp and 658 mining contractors. Maybe if you may allow me, Chair, I'd like to add more what ESCOM and the department are doing in terms of load shedding, minimizing the load shedding. I mean, the first question was, say, why ESCOM load shed during the time of COVID? The problem was to say, due to the fact that the plant, is old, and most of the fleet, they are very old, then there was no proper maintenance, and then they had to have a high breakdown, and then what ESCOM did was to develop, and they're currently implementing the reliability maintenance recovery program that aim to, improve the level of maintenance and also to improve the outages, and also to improve the partial load losses. And that's what ESCOM is currently doing to increase the plant maintenance and also the level of maintenance so that we minimize the issue of the trips. And the other issue is to improve plant performance at both Medupi and Kusile, so that they can be able to, both their newest stations, they need to be able to improve the energy availability factor. And then by so doing, ESCOM is currently undertaking a defect correction program where they would like to improve EAF to the according to the design of the machines. The other program that we think will assist in the short term so that ESCOM can be able to improve level of maintenance is the procurement of additional capacity from the IPPs. One of the honorable member was asking about the issue of buying through the procurement of power through the ESCOM balance sheet. One would expect that a government was supposed to come in, to assist in terms of procurement of the additional power system. Just unfortunately, our regular framework for now, ESCOM has to buy power from IPPs and then the consumers has to pay. It leads to increase in tariff. I think from ESCOM, the other DG has already covered them, like the issue of corruption and municipal. Maybe what I could just say in terms of municipal debt, I mean, it's receiving attention from even the Deputy President office, where we are finding solution to municipality, and ESCOM also is willing to come up with the process of partnering so that they can minimize the debt owed to the municipality. I think that's all from Madad. Thank you.
If you can have my cover. Melanchthon, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, now we can hear you.
You can hear me. Okay. Thank you, DG, and good afternoon to the DM and the honorable members of the committee. I'll start with the SOE bill. Of course, we've got a timeline that we are confident that we will meet as tight as it is. But the first process will be the research and development of the policy that will inform the bill. And the policy will have to look at what will be the appropriate oversight model for the SOEs in South Africa. So once we finalize that, then we develop the bill. And then we will table it in cabinet and subsequently in parliament. The Presidential SOE Council is also assisting us in terms of developing the policy and the bill, and they will also be bringing in capacity within PSEC to be able to finalize this work on time. The second issue that I would like to deal with is the appointment of the board members. We are maintaining a board database which has a list of the potential board members for SOEs. We've got a company that we have appointed to conduct the meeting of those board members before they are recommended for appointment in the various boards. But also we request them to give us the commitment in terms of their availability to be able to serve and to have the time to serve in those boards. But we also make an assessment in terms of the boards that they sit in, whether they will have time to be able to serve in the boards of the SOEs. With regard to the risk and integrity management framework, it is actually designed to standardize integrity assessments in the SOEs by first looking at the declaration of interest to make sure that there is appropriate declaration of interest by all the employees in the SOEs to make sure that there is lifestyle audits conducted on all officials of the SOEs, but also importantly, to prohibit the officials in those SOEs from doing business with that particular SOE. The second issue that it really looks at is to the reform on the risk and performance in the SOEs to also ensure that they standardize reporting requirements to the department with regard to the risk issues. I think those were the three questions that I had to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Makul. Can we check if we can ask Bangani? Bangani, you want to come in? And maybe we can speak a bit on Dinam. We don't. It looks like Vikent is struggling there. Right.
Are you fine now, DG? You are done.
We are done. Thank you so much, Chair. Thank you.
No, thank you very much, DG. I think before I can... hand over back to my co-chair, I would just like to indicate just two quick issues that were raised, which I think as the joint select committee and the portfolio committee, we need to look into. The first one is the oversight. In terms of our plan in the NCOP, the oversight plan to go to Durban. So it means Secretariat, my co-chair, will need to look into it so that the portfolio committee does not go there and the select committee then goes there. So we can have a joint oversight to Durban. So they can just reconcile the date, look at where are the key areas where the oversight is similar, and then we have joint oversight. So the issue of transformation, skills development, I think they have been raised. The department side will need to look at those key issues and the details of the business rescue plan, the reindustrialization. Those are the key issues. But where members have got other questions, I would urge them to put them in writing so that when they bring the detailed response back to us on those issues that they could not respond to, they also respond to those. Thank you very much. I'm handing over back to you, co-chair.
Thank you so much, Comrade Matevi, Honorable Matevi. On top of the issues that on your roundup, on top of the issues you say, I will also add the one of a session to get an update and report on all matters relating to corruption, including the recoveries of the resources stolen. I think that's the issue. We will have to ask the secretaries of the portfolio committee when we are finalizing the next quarter of the program. Those issues are captured there. Also on the oversight you have just raised, the secretaries, both the one of the select and ours of the portfolio committee, must find a way of coming up with the same dates. They must negotiate and come with a common date that will suit all of us. On those bases, honorable members, I would like to thank everybody, including the deputy minister specifically, for his always available and be able to assist us to put issues into context so that we can be in a position to understand quickly all the issues that are contemporary, including those that are still pending. Also thank the department, the DG, for the good work. They've again met our standard of the nature of the report. We would like to be presented to us, assisting us with this information that are necessary for our oversight work. And we thank you, honorable members, also for the kind of dignity you gave to this parliamentary session of this portfolio committee. I think today, once again, you have proven to be a matured collective that can be entrusted with the responsibility to safeguard the resources of this country. I think the way you have conducted yourself again in this portfolio, in this joint portfolio committee and select committee session, have showed that you respect the work you have been given by society. In fact, by conducting yourself in this dignified way, it shows your respect of the society and the people that given us the task to be members of parliament. When you start disruptive, it also exposes us how we give middle finger to the same society we seek to resolve issues. Therefore, on those bases, I thank you all for all the contribution, including the behavior we had today. The meeting is adjourned.